If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about if the era of DLC is over, goodbye Volcano High PS5 impressions, and how our 2023 PlayStation predictions have been going so far. We'll have all this and more because this is PSI Love You XOXO. Welcome to the show, everybody. That's Blessing. That's Janet. I'm Greg. And you can get PSI Love You XOXO on patreon.com/kindoffunny. There you can watch us record it live, get it ad-free, and get dozens of monthly episodes of exclusive Patreon content. If you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. Support us on the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys with the creator code kindoffunny. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free with ads and without all the exclusive content on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Brave Athos, Jedi Master Deadpool, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays and DraftKings Sportsbook. But let's start with a PSN message from you. Hello, Janet. Hello, Blessing.
Hello, Greg.
Hi.
Janet, I talked to Blessing too much. How was PAX? What amazing games did you see at PAX?
PAX was good. Also, like, I'm glad to be back here. I was gone for so long, people were like, hey, were you silently removed from the show? I was like,
they call it quiet firing. Quiet firing.
Wait, is that a thing? I don't like that.
Oh, you'll know about it soon enough.
Oh, no.
I'm like, I can't make any promises, but I'm like, I don't think they do that. But, you know, life's long. Anyway, welcome PAX home. Was cool. Yeah, thank you. Good to be here. PAX was cool. Admittedly, my assignment was through MinMax, so I spent a lot of time mostly in Nintendo Live logging.
Oh, nice.
But which was like cool and stuff, but it meant I didn't see as much of the show floor.
Sure.
I did check out some, I'm trying to think if there's like stuff that's going to be on PlayStation that I saw. I don't know where's Pepper Grinder going to be from Devolver Digital, because that was dope, but I don't know where that's
heading. Pepper Grinder, the video game, is...
Nah, PC, Switch.
Steam and Switch. It'll eventually come over. Tell me about it, because I don't know about it. Pepper Grinder is an action-adventure video game developed by Indie Arc and published by Devolver Digital.
Oh. Yeah, honestly, I shouldn't even bring this shit up around, like, other fucking fantasy people, but 2024, baby, Pepper Grinder.
Oh, that's the one? That's the guy?
I don't know if it's the one. The one's a little dramatic. I'm not as hot on it as I am on
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
A quick jump. Leave it all on the line for Pepper Grinder. No, but it was really fun. It's like a platformer-y drill game. Like, drilling's very big in games right now. We got freaking Pepper Grinders drilling around. You're like zooming through the sand. Mina the Hollower also has like some drilling aspect, and then Mario Wonder, again, not PlayStation, also has like a drill ability. So this is like the drilling is hot in game development right now. Take to the walls is what I've learned from what I've been seeing in the space. But yeah, that, you know, a couple other like indie titles I've seen here and there, but again, unfortunately, last time is probably like more PC centered. I played like Time Flies by like Panic, which again, can't remember if that's also just PC Switch, but yeah, so you know, I tried to hit up a couple things here and there, but it was mostly just like vlogging, chilling. It was not a wall-to-wall appointment filled thing, which was nice because I was able to like chill a little bit more.
Time Flies is coming to PlayStation 5.
Hell yeah, it's awesome.
I saw this at SGF too.
Yeah, it's you know, it is in the structure of, if you're not familiar, Time Flies is a very minimalistic looking like black and white chilled down game where you play as a fly that you can live for, I think, 60 or 70 seconds, and it's a little bit Untitled Goose Game, Henry Halfhead, which isn't out yet in terms of the checklist vacation. And as my indie colleague Jill Grote pointed out, it's a bit like Minute in the sense that you have the same goals, but you're repeating over and over again. And, you know, you get into it, you understand it very quick, and I'm like, hell yeah, this works.
Good. Okay. Well, that's exciting. The PSN message from you comes from kindoffunny.com/PSILY, where, of course, you can write in to be part of the show for free, just like AK did. Hi, whoa. PS I Love You XOXO crew. Is the era of DLC over? I don't mean that devs will stop making DLC. Obviously, that will continue. I mean whether the gaming public at large still cares about DLC. A decade ago, when DLC was a new thing, games like Mass Effect 2, Red Dead Redemption, and Dark Souls 1 showed how impressive DLC can be. But since then, aside from FromSoft games, it seems like most DLC comes and goes without making any real splash. Parentheses, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man, Horizon, Assassin's Creed, etc. Curious if you think this might change at all in the future, or if the gaming community is over DLC for good. Thanks! And keep up the great podcasting. Blessing,
Greg,
you don't like DLC traditionally. You don't get into it.
Traditionally, I don't get excited about DLC. But weirdly enough, right now, one of the upcoming games I'm most excited for is DLC, with Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty.
Yeah.
And I think I think DLC hasn't died down. I think it's more so companies and studios are figuring out better ways to do DLC, right? Like, we see traditional DLC coming out still in the future, like something like Cyberpunk that's more of an expansion. But yeah, we've seen stuff that traditionally would be DLC transform into full games in the case of, yeah, like a Miles Morales or an Uncharted Lost Legacy. We've seen they're like, even a infamous First Light. We've seen the chapter-based thing with what Spider-Man did with A City That Never Sleeps, which I think was like, that didn't necessarily hit for me, but I don't know. Like, I think it's about finding what works for your game. And a lot of that comes with experimentation. I think Ghost of Tsushima did another really interesting thing, which was, hey, this isn't a traditional, unless we're talking about Yuki Island, which was more traditional. But like, in terms of Legends, isn't a traditional, hey, you're getting more story, you're getting an extra map or whatever. Legends was adding in a whole new mode for you. Like, you saw that in Sifu as well. And I think in a game like Ghost of Tsushima, that worked and was cool, and the audience liked it. Might not have set the world on fire, but it was something that worked for that game. In the case of Sifu, I'm hearing a lot of love for the arenas thing, at least from Tim Gettys. I think it is about experimenting and figuring out what works best for your game. But I don't think the era of DLC is over. I think the era of DLC has just evolved into how do we put out content that fits what this project is.
Janet Garcia, your thoughts?
I think the era of DLC never was.
Wow!
We talk about, I mean, the reality is, statistically, no one cares about DLC. I don't care if you're playing every DLC that comes out. You're like one of almost no people. Why do I know this? I've told this story before. People don't do guides content for DLC because no one's looking it up, because no one is playing the game. And maybe you might argue, oh, well, the people who get to the DLC are such advanced gamers. They don't need a cert. Like, bro, ain't no one playing it. Like, just straight up, like, in terms of mass market. Now, I think in terms of conversation and the idea of DLC that pushes the envelope, I think we'll always still see splashes of a DLC that really makes an impact, whether it's in that kind of almost expansion vibe that Blessing's kind of talking to, with like a DLC that just feels really significant, or whether it's like something that kind of, I think, pushes how you contextualize and think of the game and the story that you were in, similar to what Outer Wilds did with Echoes of the Eye. Now, I'm not an Outer Wilds stan, but I am an Outer Wilds respecter. And the more I get away from that game, the more I admire what it did in terms of what it truly means to be exploring space and what, how that can be meaningful and interesting. And Echoes of the Eye, even though like I wasn't like in love with it, it was definitely a very different vibe than the first, than the base game. It adds a lot to the mysteries of the universe, and it's kind of like really beautiful in a lot of ways, and spooky and weird and twisty. And I think it's rare for a DLC to feel as impactful as Echoes of the Eye does. So again, I think we'll always see stuff like that. And like, obviously, sure, the hardest of hardcore people in the chat talking about, oh, this is the DLC I'm looking forward to. You know, we did the Burning Shores DLC. So DLC definitely, and you know, me and Bless talked about how cool it was that like Operation Tango like got some updates and things like that. Even though like I didn't play it. I don't know if you did, Bless. Like,
no.
I just didn't get around to
it. I did
it.
Play the Escape Academy ones.
Yeah. So it's like, there's definitely like value, I think, in DLC. I need to do that still, the Escape Academy.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think it's ever going to be like, DLC is like so hot in the street, like the everyone's flocking for it. It just isn't that kind of product when it comes to the gaming market. Again, most people who play a game, which is already a small number, do not finish the games, yeah. And that's like just generally true. So DLC is even.
And I think that's where I come down on being less excited for DLC is that if I want to play more of the game, I could just pick that.
You probably have more left to do.
Yeah, I probably have more left to do. There's probably side things I could do. I could probably just restart the game and play it again. When I think of the most exciting experiences I've had over the years for video games, right? Like I feel like DLC is few and far between of the ones that hit, right? Like when I think of the ones that hit, I am thinking of something like the Old Hunters out of Bloodborne. I know so many people love Undead Nightmare, right? But even Iki Island, like I remember here and there things that happened, but Iki Island was more Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah. Even Horizon Burning Shores, we really enjoyed Horizon Burning Shores. And like I think I'm probably gonna remember like the final boss fight and stuff because I really liked it. But like once we get like a few years down the line, when I think back to Horizon Forbidden West, I don't know if the DLC is necessarily going to be the thing that I'm like, oh yeah, and remember Burning Shores, unless it's the best content of the game. It's hard to really like make that stamp and like makes people remember what this DLC was.
I think one thing that's really meaningful though about DLC is the fact that oftentimes I think it gives a little bit of a window into, especially if it's DLC in a game that feels like it will be a franchise or already is a franchise, like in the case of Horizon. To me, the value of it from like a curiosity media standpoint is getting a peek into what the developers are excited to be iterating on or expanding on. So like with Horizon Burning Shores DLC, like one of my big mechanical takeaways is the way they implemented and pushed you towards a little bit more of a verticality in how you went about combat and like utilizing like the glider with the geysers and everything. Not that there was nothing like that in the base game, but they sort of pushed you towards it a bit more. And I think in the case of Iki Island, even though I didn't, because that was the Ghost DLC, right? Iki Island?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though I didn't finish that DLC, I really enjoyed what I was seeing in terms of some of the combat things they were doing. And in terms of some of the trippy, weird hallucination dream sequence stuff, I was like, yeah, I'm feeling this. This is cool. Like, and it kind of gave me a little bit of a window and some things to mull on where they could be going with their other stuff. So I do think there's like value in DLC, whether it's checking it out for your own edification or even just in the developers doing it and kind of toying with ideas. But yeah, it's just not that.
There's two different cases, I think, out of this one, right? Piano Fish Tank Live on patreon.com/kindoffunnynails. And it says people who quote unquote truly care about the game often support the DLC, but games media barely has time for it, right? Back to the guides conversation. But then also, of course, fans who just want more or go back to that world like we did with, or like I did and Janet did with Burning Shores or stuff to that effect, right? And even for me with Spider-Man 2018, which, by the way, can you believe is celebrating 5 years today? This today, September 7th, as we record, Insomniac put up a tweet celebrating like 5 years of Marvel Spider-Man first released on this day in 2018, who's ready to start a brand new adventure with Peter and Miles on October 20th.
That doesn't feel right. Like, I didn't.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right.
2018,
I didn't
yeah.
have this career when that game came out. I got that game on Redbox because I couldn't afford to get it otherwise.
I was still at IGN, which is really weird.
Yeah, it's a weird world of time warps there, right? Yeah. But it is that idea that, like, I was happy to, as somebody who platinumed Spider-Man and did everything Spider-Man, was happy to have more Spider-Man. And then, yeah, it was just mid-Spider-Man, right? Like, it started strong, I thought, but episodes 2 and 3 really didn't carry it, right? And so the era of DLC is such an interesting question, because I do think what we're seeing is something you brought up, Bless, right? Of, like, DLC getting so big to become an expansion, to become a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think that Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty is about to have a pretty big moment. Like, they've obviously put Idris Elba in it. They obviously had quite the bad time with the original launch of Cyberpunk. This is going to be a big deal for them, on top of the fact that, yeah, there's more content, but there's also all these changes under the hood and the things they're patching and fixing and going with, right? Where it's like, this kind of gets to be, hopefully, if they don't fuck it up, like, their actual Cyberpunk moment.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing where I think right now, as we all are so into, or not all of us, but the industry is so into Starfield, right? And there's so much going on with Starfield, even though it's an Xbox thing. I would hazard a guess that when Starfield starts dropping DLC, if it is meaty expansions, similar to what Fallout 3's DLC was, like, and that could be back to AK's question of like, it used to be a big deal, it's not now. I would think that would be a big deal in the same way like Witcher 3's Blood and Wine was a big deal. Yeah. But if it's just, cool, there's more missions, all right, cool. Like Iki Island, right? Which was another island and new stuff to do and yada yada, and I really enjoyed it because I love Ghost. I struggled to tell you what was really happening on Iki Island, right? Like, it was just more stuff to go do, and I wanted more stuff to go do.
Yeah.
So for that one, you fall more into the Piano Fish Tank idea here, right? Of, like, more for fans who are really into it versus the era of it. But I think to AK's question, right, when you're going back and you're citing Mass Effect 2, Red Dead Redemption, Dark Souls 1, right, that was when people were still playing with what DLC could be, and it was novel to have more. You have a game you love, and guess what? There's going to be more for it. There's going to be an update for it. Now it's almost like, oh, is this the complete story all right here? People like that a lot.
Yeah. I also think there's like, there's a type of DLC that stands out, and it is the kind of DLC that is, all right, how do we take a left turn from what this game is? Because when you mention Red Dead DLC Nightmare. Is Undead Nightmare, right? Yep. And they add in zombies and they give you this whole story, and it's a left turn. When I think of the even the Fallout 3 DLC, each of those was like a different, you're going to a different environment. You're going to a swamp. You're going to a wintry area. Like, you're doing something that's far different from what the core game is. And so it stands out, and it's something unique, right? Like, my thing with Iki Island, why I don't remember it, I remember it fondly. I know I had fun with it, but the reason why it doesn't stand out is because it was more, right? You had the trippy hallucination stuff, right? But, like, you know, I played that in one sitting, finished it, and was like, all right, cool. That was a bit more of Ghost of Tsushima. I think Horizon Burning Shores did a pretty good job of, like, okay, cool, you're going to L.A. There's a new character we're introducing that's going to, like, have this fun dynamic with Aloy that you like, right? And I think...
But we reach back to then, like, okay, when Horizon 3 comes, is Seika actually involved that much? What are we doing with her?
Exactly.
She sent us a text message, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Keeping,
it was like...
sending out good thoughts.
A reference we see somewhere, or is she actually going to be in the game?
Yeah.
We'll have to actually wait and see, I guess, but... Yeah, I think the era of DLC, like, being a big deal and getting all the coverage and yada yada, yeah, that is over. And I think it's because, of course, there's so much of it. I think there are so many games at any point in time. You want to reach back to some of these things. It was, I mean, Mass Effect 2, like, there just wasn't the number of games coming out where everything's competing. And yeah, it is hard to sit there and be like, let's dedicate time to this thing when there are three other games also that are brand new. You know, nobody knows anything about dropping.
I think too, as like a last thing, like DLC sort of is the hand coming, which I know this is a very like, sometimes I want to finish a game and move on to another game. Like, which again, that's not, I think people a lot of times try to couch that as like, well, that's a games media thing. And it is, but it's also like, can be a gamer thing. Like a lot of people will be like, 100%. You'd never, you know, and I think people kind of forget that like people play games in many ways. Like folks will be like, oh, y'all rush through the game. Okay. Like you ain't going to be marathoning it this weekend, please. Isaiah beats games way faster than me, even when I'm reviewing them sometimes. And I'm like, how are you even? I don't have like the stamina to do it at that level, but a lot of players do. But I bring that up because like, I think with a lot of DLC, it's the hand coming out of the ground of like the game's over. Oh, but there's DLC. So maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Versus like, I think now in this era that we're in now, we have like games as a service as like a thing where like when, again, not PlayStation, but when the Animal Crossing Happy Home, whatever the fuck dropped, or Happy Island. I don't forget what the fuck it was. I bought it and shit. But like when that dropped, that was exciting because it's like, oh my God, finally, like, are you guys really going to maybe start supporting this more? Because that's the style of game it is and what people wanted, you know, same deal. Mario Kart. It's like, oh man, give me the live service vibes. It's like, I think when you have a game like that, that stuff fits in a bit more. But like, I think with single player games, there is a sector of the audience too. That's like, hey, I'm here for my one time, and I don't want to feel like you're trying to get me back all the time.
Sure.
Either it's DLC or like events. So I think the tone has also just changed.
And that's the hardest thing about it, right? Where I think, you know, the struggle with DLC is to make something compelling for the fans that like it, but then also not put something in there that is so important that you're lost if you get the sequel to the game. And that's what we've seen with, I'll be fascinated to see how Spider-Man 2 tackles some of the stuff they did in there. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, we talk about Iki Island, where it's like, if you didn't play that, you're going to jump into Jin Sakai's story in Ghost 2 and be fine. It won't affect you that much. And even Burning Shores, which we've all enjoyed, and I think added more color to Aloy for sure. I guess you might be confused if she has a love interest, or maybe not. I mean, is it reading our save? Is it really doing anything? Is it going to be ambiguous conversations of like, oh yeah, I met somebody I cared about. Oh, Burning Shores, I've been down there. I met somebody I really liked down there. And that's it. And we read into it, whatever it is.
Good people down there.
Some cool people. Good people. Yeah. You know, good people are down there. I digress. Let's move on to the topic of the show. Today, something interesting happened. It was actually yesterday. But we were talking about what should we talk about on PS I Love You XOXO this week. And the idea of starting to talk about next year came up. 2024. Is it too early to start making predictions about that? And I said, well, when did we do our 2023 predictions? And of course, we did those in December, our final episode of PS I Love You for the year in 2022. We predicted 2023. And then I started looking through them and I said, oh, you know what? We got answers to most of these. So we should go back and look at the results and then talk about the rest of 2023. Because obviously, we're operating in the dark for many of them. Janet, are you prepared?
Yes and no. Yes in that I'm always prepared because I just operate.
Always stay ready?
Like that, yeah. Always stay ready. Stay ready. Don't get ready. But also, I'm like, and I did kind of peep, but also I'm kind of want to, I'm excited to see how things shook out. Because I think when we make these predictions, it's like, yeah, this is what I think. And then I'm excited to look back now and see how right or wrong we were for many of these things. So it's gonna be fun.
So we are at the PlayStation Predictions 2023 PS I Love You XOXO episode 149. That's how far back we're reaching in here. The first question we asked is, are we getting a PlayStation showcase and when? We all said universally, yes, we would get one. Blessing said February.
Yeah, that was the rumor back then.
Janet said March. And I was much more vague and said summer.
Cop-out answer.
So I will take the credit because it was May 24th.
No.
May 24th!
No.
That's summer, basically June, summer!
Baby, no. March is basically spring. If anyone gets the credit, it's me.
But yeah, May is not out. No, because summer officially starts summer. June 21st.
Dude, May, yeah. You're starting to kick off your shoes. You're starting to check out
at
school.
Put the dogs away.
You're starting to check out at school. You know
if it was
I
even
mean?
June, I'd maybe give it to you.
June, I would definitely give it to
June,
you.
June, I'll give it to you.
June 1st, May, I'll give it
May
to you.
24th, we're right on the verge of Judges Week in the old days for E3 Signal Summer. I'll take the credit. I'm just going to
May 24th, some kids are still in school, Greg.
No, yeah.
I don't think you can take it.
Most kids are still in school, but I think at that point, you're checked out. You're
I will
done.
Say if we're doing the
Oh, they're checked out by like March.
College, you're out by then.
If we're doing closest and we say summer's June, I will say then Greg would get it. But he gave a coward's answer and gave summer, trying to get fucking June, July, August. I feel like that should give me the grace to take this one. Or we could say
I don't think any of us get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Doesn't matter. May 24th happened. But here's the big thing. Are we getting another PlayStation showcase this year? We're predicting the rest of 2023. This goddamn rumored PlayStation showcase continues to pop up.
I mean, we're going to get something. I don't know if it's a showcase or a state of play is my thing.
Yeah.
I think there's still so much to talk about. We've talked about it a lot that, like, I think you want to color in what 2024 looks like. I think there's a lot of questions still left to be answered. Are we doing show? Like, are we asking showcase specifically? Are we not bringing in the state of play into this? I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks.
Yeah. I've been saying it since this rumor started, which started, like, with stupid ass Jeff Grubb,
yeah,
like the week after the PlayStation showcase, right? And it's like, I definitely think there'll be a PlayStation State of Play. I definitely think they want to get Spider-Man out one more time in front of people's faces before the October 20th release day.
I might change my answer. Right, here we go. Because my thing, thinking back to the last showcase in the State of Play we got last year, I'm starting to feel like there's not really a fucking difference between these two things. Because the State of Play we got in May of 2022. The 2022 PlayStation State of Play was better than the 2023 PlayStation Showcase that we got.
100%.
Like, I think they can just call it whatever they want. I think it's just based on how many first party things show up versus how many things don't. And so I'm gonna say I think you still have a lot of first party things to talk about.
And Janet, you're sticking with a no with me?
I'm sticking with no. Yeah.
All right.
And this way, if it does happen, now I got a leg up on you guys on predictions.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Let's go.
Have it your way. The other one, another question we posed was, how many first party games will we get in 2023? And we all were like, we didn't actually put numbers on this. Instead, we as a group listed Spider-Man 2, and then if you wanted to count it, the Horizon DLC, and then if you wanted to count it, the Horizon Call of the Mountain for PlayStation VR 2. You look at this though, right? And like, we went through this, and you, Blessing, said you thought we'd get one more PlayStation Studios game, and you guessed it would be Last of Us Factions.
God damn it!
Face is red on that one, right?
I mean, I think I'm right on the one more PlayStation Studios game, right?
We're counting Helldivers, I assume.
I would count Helldivers.
Yeah, right. Obviously, Arrowhead not owned by PlayStation Studios, but it is a PlayStation Studios game in terms of the second party thing that doesn't exist anymore.
So yeah, I'm wrong on the Last of Us Factions part, but yeah, Helldivers 2. Yeah, one more PlayStation Studios game. I think that lines up. Stellar Blade is still a question mark. That ain't coming out this year.
No,
I refuse to believe it.
I love the question that we had in here from the audience. It was a prediction from one of the audience members saying that this would be better than 2018. That 2023. That was the bold prediction, and we all said no. I don't
for
think
PlayStation
that's
or just
for
in
PlayStation.
Oh, okay. I mean, is there a chance you got Final Fantasy 16?
We just got Baldur's Gate.
You want to count that? They got Baldur's.
I mean, I think like. To have a real conversation about it, right? And I guess I should pull up the actual quote. Let me throw up in the PS I Love You mail.
Because if we're talking about just PlayStation Studios, then no.
And that's the thing, is like, it's open interpretation, right?
Yeah. But we're talking about exclusives. What, 2018 was God of War and Spider-Man.
Yep.
Am I missing anything?
Well, I mean, for exclusives?
Yeah, for like PlayStation Studios games for 2018.
Not that I remember.
Balloon was that.
I think that alone makes it a better year, like just in terms of.
Isaac McCraw said it will be the best year since 2018.
Oh, since 20. No, no, no.
Yeah.
No. Let me tell you about 20.
But again, like, it's a question of how do you actually want to count it? Because, like, if we're just talking about being a PlayStation gamer, not don't worry about it, is something else. And then if you just owned a PS5.
If you just owned a PS5.
Right.
And we're talking about big games of the year. We're talking about Resident Evil 4, Jedi Survivor, Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16,
Alan Wake
Spider-Man. 2. Yeah, I mean, those are a lot of video games.
But then, I feel like if you do it that way, it becomes like a not meaningful conversation. Because while, yes, it's true, obviously there are people that like only have a PlayStation and like that matters. But it's not like, at that point, that's just kind of like the best year in gaming. Like,
sure. Because
yeah.
Chances are there's going to be like, maybe there's a banger on PlayStation and a banger on Xbox and a banger. Like, that's not like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of good third-party titles. But like, that has nothing to do with like how good of a year it is for, I feel like, PlayStation specifically for me thinking of this question.
My counter argument against 2023 as a PlayStation year is that there are so many bangers that just aren't on PlayStation, right? Like the biggest and best games of the year, you know, I think you do bring in a Tears of the Kingdom into it, right? Like you might bring in, I guess, well, I was gonna say Baldur's Gate, but that is on PlayStation actually. A Starfield, right? One of the biggest games of the year is on PlayStation. Like I think this might be there's a very possible chance that we get to the Game Awards and there's not a PlayStation Studios game or like a PlayStation exclusive in the Game Awards, like Game of the Year conversation. You know, I think I could see a scenario where a Spider-Man 2 and or a Final Fantasy 16 gets left off because it's such a competitive year and there have been such great other releases on other platforms.
Yeah,
I think it'll be there because they leave a lot of space in that category. It only lets you put like 6 games up there.
Yeah, six games. Yeah,
but a lot of games came out this year.
Yeah, because like two of those
Armored
spots.
Core.
Yeah, there's Armored Core. Like two of those spots are already Tears and Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes, for sure.
And then like you get into maybe a Resident Evil 4. You get into maybe a Diablo 4. And then I think it's up for grabs. I think Spider-Man 2 has a good shot.
Spider-Man 2 is so much more mainstream than those games. Which again,
Hogwarts
like,
Legacy also, I think, like could be in the conversation.
It is still a media, which I guess that's like a different thing. But yeah, like I mean, what you were saying, like I technically agree with that it's possible, but I would guess that it wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing Spider-Man 2 is going to be in there.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe not.
My third question from back in December. Will any of us care about the DualSense Edge wireless controller? And we all said no. Blessing, you said you had the best chance at it, but even then you didn't think it would be.
Yeah. And now I'm in love with my DualSense Edge controller. I get to the office and I'm playing games at my desk with my regular controller because my DualSense Edge is at home. And I'm bummed out. I'm bummed out whenever I pick up a regular DualSense now because I'm like, oh, but like it doesn't feel the same way. And like I can't do like the
feels like broke triggers. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like, oh man, yeah, like it smells like broken here. Like what's
going
on?
Yeah, no, I get it. What's the can you talk about like what specifically about it? Because how you're describing it, it sounds like literally getting hands on anything else just feels like this ain't it. So is it really like every game you're playing, you're like feeling the benefits
on PlayStation? It's the thing where I pick up a regular DualSense and it just doesn't hold up, right? Like even just not the form factor, but I guess the feel of it. Like there's like certain textures on the DualSense Edge that makes it feel nicer to hold. That plus like the back paddles do change the game. Like I use those a lot for Armored Core 6. I'm reviewing a game right now and the back paddles are coming in clutch for that too. Playing FIFA, the back paddles came in clutch for that. Like I can't believe I'm that person that when I go into my DualSense Edge settings, I have profiles set for a specific game.
Now, so
it's like
do I want
Armored Core 6
Edge?
Profile. DualSense Edge is nice. I
Gina,
really like
I'll
my
tell
DualSense
you,
Edge.
As the same person, just different cities, you're fine.
Uh-huh.
And I don't. And this isn't me commenting that the DualSense Edge is bad.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it when we did reviews of it, when we played it. I'm saying forced because it's just so counterintuitive to me. Mm-hmm. I did do the profiles where I had a Dead Space one. I had a Forspoken one. I went in. I had a Ghostbuster Spirits Unleashed. I would go in there and rename them or whatever.
Yeah.
But eventually I put it down and it wasn't until like this weekend with Ben where we were moving things around to open up and I saw it and I was like, all right. Mm. But it's like, for me, I'm such a goon.
Oh, send it to me.
I'd much rather pick up.
Bring it in. Let it be my office.
Pink, sure.
I call dibs. Excuse you.
That's fair. That's fair.
But it's that
come
idea
on,
of like,
you have Janet, health insurance. If you don't, stop being so fucking if Janet, extra.
If you don't use that, I need you to send it back though.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll give you that. But I got bad news for you. I live with Isaiah. I feel like if I don't use it, I'll use it. But I will send it back if we do not use it.
Fair enough.
I just feel like, yeah, it's like, yeah, I still go for the colored. I want the pretty controller. I like grabbing that one personally because, yeah, like the back paddles and stuff. I understand. I think when I was playing Immortals, there was a brief second where I was like, I guess I could have. Nah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I just never did.
Sure. I feel
so
that.
So I've just kept on moving
I'm
that
about
way.
To go. I got to like, I need everything I can get if like FIFA comes out at the end of this month, right?
Yep.
And I'm gonna play against Blessing again. No, I need to get every edge I can get.
That's my thing. Is it was a learning period with the DualSense Edge for me, getting used to the back paddles. But once I got there, it was like opening a third eye, where I'm like, oh, more buttons.
I'm gonna be selecting dialogue like at a pro level now. Back paddles for the dialogue select.
Yeah, right. Exactly. For whatever weird narrative game you and I are playing.
Yeah, fucking the next Mothman game or some shit. Dude, I also play the other one.
But. Like adjusting the triggers. So like I use it for Street Fighter as well, right? Where like so there are certain buttons that what is it? L2 is the parry button in Street Fighter. Being able to turn that into a clicky thing as opposed to a pull changes the game. Like I'm a leveled up gamer with my DualSense Edge.
Oh wow, look at that. Yeah. Leveled up.
I'm leveled up. I love this thing.
Like a Blockbuster commercial.
They're gonna take that tagline.
Yeah.
I leveled up.
You can put that on the box.
Number four for the questions we asked on the prediction episode. And this is gonna be a controversial one to this day.
Yeah.
Is the PlayStation VR 2 dead on arrival? Across the board, we all said yes it was.
Damn, how wrong were we?
Yeah. You know? We're look at it. So out of touch. We're missing core content to the PlayStation.
It's thriving. Look at Firewall Ultra. It's alive. Look at how many people are talking about Synapse. And like, I don't have anything against Synapse, but like, it's probably a very good game. But
jokes aside, I think it has been really difficult. I was actually talking about this during PAX, you know, running into a bunch of industry people. We got on the topic of VR, and genuinely, and I'm sure I told this story on the show before, I really wanted to go all in on it. You know, like I got it. I'm like, I'm gonna be like fucking in the culture. I'm gonna know all the stuff that's coming on. We better talk about it. And frankly, I can't really bring myself to do it. And there also isn't anything pushing me to do it in any way whatsoever. Again, I know there will be people in the comments talking about the way you look through it, like you have never seen, you know, whatever, right? Yeah. But it's like I'm a software girl at the end of the day, and like I haven't gotten those big pushes, especially because like a lot of VR platforms, there is, I think, a struggle to create experiences that feel like they can only be on VR that also don't involve a gun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or just shooting as their main mechanic. Again, I don't mind shooting. I shoot in games all the time, but it's like, okay, I get it. I can look around by moving my head. Like that, it's not enough anymore. Like, I'm sorry.
We're only a matter of time before Astrobot Rescue Mission finally gets ported.
There is a rumor that they're working on Astrobot.
And then Half-Life Alyx, a game from 3.5 years ago, is going to get ported and saves it. Like we're gonna get. There.
We have earned the ire of the VR fan base here quite a few times when we talk about how we just aren't into it, and then they'll throw out the fact that 600,000 units have been sold. But even then, what are you playing? What do you do? I go to Road to VR. Road to VR, obviously a VR site. Mm-hmm. Enthusiast press there. There's an article up from Scott Hayden from August 31st, so last week, that says PSVR 2 is missing a critical mass of compelling exclusives, but there's no telling when more will come. The opening goes like this. It's been 6 months since Sony launched the PlayStation VR 2, handily one of the best pieces of consumer VR hardware we've laid eyes on. While the headset is undeniably great, Sony's content strategy hasn't been. Beyond a handful of launch titles, PlayStation VR 2 didn't really explode out of the gate like we hoped, and a future with high-quality content on the horizon hasn't materialized either. This, compounded by the lack of backwards compatibility, has hobbled the platform to the point that long-term viability could be an issue if Sony doesn't step up their game. Obviously, they go on and talk about the lack of exclusives and talk about this and the fact that most people, because of the success of the Quest, are developing for Quest first, maybe porting to PlayStation VR 2 later. I just want to bring in people who are mainly VR people who are also like, yo, something's wrong here.
We're saying all the same things that we said.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm aware. Oh, I know we're rock solid and right. It's just the fact that
I get why you brought it in. Cause actually, like when I mentioned, I wanted to be like that PSVR person, I thought of Upload VR. Cause I used to follow like their work pretty heavily when VR 1 came out, and I was,
to be clear, that was Road to VR, not Upload VR.
Oh, okay. So
we do love Upload VR as well, but that wasn't.
Yeah, all in those sites that are in the ecosystem that really know their stuff, that like cover it pretty much exclusively. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely still time.
No.
Yeah.
There
isn't.
Yeah, I don't think.
Let's be honest, everybody. There isn't. Like, there's.
Do you think they're gonna just like what? Like, what's the? I don't know. Like,
what I think, Janet, I think
PlayStation throwing away a piece of hardware.
My prediction here, and this is for the rest of 2023 into 2024 into 2025.
Looks cute.
It is what it is. I think that it will continue to be quote unquote supported. Like, it's going to be there. They're going to keep selling them. They're going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to see a first party push come out of the blue to really go crazy on this. I think it will continue to be. There are indies and third parties who are doing stuff for it. That's what it is.
I mean,
Rhino says Resident Evil 4, maybe, of course, because they're doing Resident Evil 4 VR.
Yeah.
No, like that will be cool and that will be a fun thing to play. But I don't think that's the one where everyone's gonna be like, holy shit, you got to get this.
Oh, yeah. They have to I know, like, I'm saying have to.
No, same.
Which they don't have to. But, like, they have to release at least more first-party stuff. Like, at least a couple of things. Certainly you're working on first-party things leading into PSVR 2. I'm sure, like, those don't just get canceled, right? Like, where are they?
Yeah.
Because Horizon,
I feel like there's got to be a little something.
Horizon Call of the Mountain came out, right? And, like, did what it did. But, like, where are the other ones? I'm very surprised we've not gotten those at least announced. At the very
Spider-Man
least.
Spider-Man VR, you know?
Like, I can understand, like, okay, once we get through this, like, this slate of them, then we don't make more because we want to focus on the console, sure. Like, the core console. But, like, where are the other ones you were working on? Like, where are they? I'm going crazy right now.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Our next question was, does Final Fantasy 16 actually come out next year? Of course, it did.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. That was a question. It had been announced, obviously, for June 22nd, 2023. You guys said, Bless is like, for sure. Janet said, sure, why not? And I was like, I'll be different and take the shot. I said, no, maybe it gets delayed.
I remember that conversation. I remember being very shocked that you were like, oh, yeah, no, I think it'll get delayed. Just for that, I understood the fact that it's Square Enix.
Yeah, so that's all it was. Yeah. It was just like, hey, why not jump on it? Why not see if it doesn't
happen? I'm like, we'd seen so much of it. So I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, it all worked out and everybody loves it. So congratulations.
We did it.
Then it was.
We got to do that for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Mm. Do you think that comes out next year, actually?
Yeah.
Greg says yes. I also say yes, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we got
exciting at all.
I forget if we got a date, but like they said early. Yeah, they said early 2024. And so even if it gets delayed,
still
2024. Hopefully, it's still 2024.
This is a fascinating one. Factions this year. Me and Blessing said yes, they have to do Last of Us Factions this year. Are you kidding us? Of course. And Janet said no. Look at Janet, everybody. Big brain Janet.
There's still time for me to be wrong.
No, there isn't. Don't even try to keep that hope alive. That's not happening anytime soon.
Bungie shut that down. In terms of literal time existing. But yeah, I really hope we see, because you know, there's still months left or whatever. But like, I hope we see this at some point. I'm a little scared at this point. But I'll be there. I'll be there when it's there.
It's never coming. I'm doubling down on that prediction. I'm doubling down on that prediction.
Oh, you think it's never coming?
Remember, I said...
When they shelve this? They, like, showed... Not
a lot. We had to hold that for, like,
100%. They showed me a watercolor. You think they're just going to throw that away? Like, it didn't mean anything to them?
We had to keep this for our December 2024 or 2023 predictions.
Yeah, we'll have to.
We predict next year. Because, yeah, I think the... Will Fallout... Will Last of Us Factions ever come out is definitely a good... a good one, because I gotta think about that.
My thought is just like, I mean, I've said it since we talked about it on this show and Games Daily and everything else, of like, I hope it comes out. I'd love for it to come out. I want to play that game. Mm-hmm. I feel like by going in there and being like, it ain't hitting, shrink the team, make sure you promote that we have a single player IP, I think that's them quietly exiting, where they're working on it. I swear, I assure you, they're working on it. Mm-hmm. They have every intention of trying to make it happen, but I imagine at some point you gotta throw up your hands and be like, we couldn't find the fun when it was the big project. We've shrunk it down and we think we could do X, Y, and Z, but is it worth doing that?
Like, let alone Naughty Dog to release something that's not going to get received well.
And you want to talk about, like, of course, the reaction we've seen since the PlayStation Showcase 2, Fair Games and Marathon. Conquered. And yeah, you know what I mean? Like, all these games as a service, right? Where it is like, ooh, like, if you can't have a half cooked, undercooked PlayStation first party Naughty Dog, the crown jewel, putting out something that isn't fucking hitting. Let alone the fact that I think it's going to be, since it's got it had to take a step back, it's going to be so long before you'd actually see that game. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't know, man.
Listen, I don't mind the modes. I'm going back and I'm saying, yo, let's just treat this like it's 2013 and put out like look at what Ghost of Tsushima did with Legends.
Yeah.
I don't need a full fledged ground up big games as a service Last of Us thing. I just want a mode. I just want to like shoot things with other people. That's all I want.
To put this in there. Just because it was funny, but we had a long conversation about where the hell is Little Devil Inside?
Oh my God.
And here we are almost a year later going, where the hell is Little Devil Inside?
When did you go on parental leave?
I went on parental leave in 2021. That's when Ben was born.
Janet, when did we do? Because me and Janet did an episode where we were talking about predicting a state of play. And I said Little Devil Inside was going to be at that state of play. I could have sworn that was during your leave. Which it might have been.
Yeah, I know.
Because then there was a state of play, and Little Devil Inside was the...
These are mutually exclusive.
Little Devil Inside was, like, the big thing at that state of play. And, like, they said it was coming out the year after. And that... What? Was that 2 years ago that happened? I think it was 2 years ago. So, yeah, I think that lines up.
Like...
What happened?
It's been a really long time, because... this was a long time ago, because remember, like, when the game was also first for, and this isn't what you were talking about, what you're talking about comes after this, but when the game was first revealed, that was sometime in like June, like when it first was shown off, like first, like on,
yeah, like, that was like the PlayStation 5 reveal.
Yeah, and then it got like another thing, you know, during that, I think it was like a state of play, like you said. So this has like existed in our consciousness at least since 2020, which I don't know. Some people are always asking for knowing about games as long as they possibly can before they come out. And this is what that feels like.
And like literally, literally we watched this exact trailer. Maybe I'm not sure 100% on that. I think so. And I said the same thing I'll say right now. These indies. You can't trust them. You know what I mean? They put these dates out there. You do all these things. And I mentioned Goodbye Volcano High at this very moment in December. And then look what happens. That game just shadow drops out of the blue. There it is all of a sudden. It's finally happening.
I'm looking. I found the state of play I was talking about. It was October 2021.
Yeah, it's the one the Fudge is from too.
Yeah, Little Devil Inside closed out the show. Little Devil Inside was also the thing they used to advertise the state of play. It closed out and it says 2022. Yeah. Not 2022. It's not coming out in 2023.
Back in December 2022, on episode 149 of PS I Love You XOXO, Spooky Cabins wrote in and said, PlayStation will announce more multiplayer titles than single-player games, but none of them will be a new IP. Every multiplayer game will be connected to an existing franchise, including a PlayStation All-Stars kart racer.
That'd be the dream.
Back then, I started to say, I don't think you'll see them announce more multiplayer, and then I drifted off. And Blessing cut me off, and he's like, I could see it. And then made this whole case, and I was like, I guess that makes sense. And here we are.
Here we are.
If we want to, again, like, we're playing fast and loose. We're not actually like, here's everything we got to know, so write it all down, right? And here's second party, third party. But, like,
I mean, here's the first party game.
We can't argue that PlayStation's showcase was live service multiplayer forward.
Yeah, like, if we went, I don't have all the data in my head right now, but like, I'm pretty sure if we went through beat for beat and tallied the PlayStation first party studios games that were announced that were newly announced this year, I think the multiplayer stuff outnumbers the single player stuff. Now it's not the dream scenario that Spooky Cabin is talking about, where all of them are based off of existing PlayStation IP, right? Like,
which would have been smarter,
would have been probably a bit more exciting, would have helped sell this more. But this is where we're at. I mean, we could maybe we get that state of play. Maybe we get that PlayStation showcase where
the make good.
Yeah.
Here's what Tony Benn's doing.
Here's Ghost of Tsushima 2.
Yeah, Ghost. Ugh. Weird one. It's a weird one for the year. I said that there'd be no Ghost of Tsushima 2 announced in 2023. Blessing was very disappointed.
I was disappointed. I remember that.
Yeah.
Are you still disappointed or have you accepted?
I'm both. Yeah, like I've accepted that Ghost of Tsushima 2 is probably taking longer than what I would like. But I'm also, I'm sad that I'm not going to see that game for a while.
I'm sorry.
Fair enough. And then Skullcat had written in on that show and said, PlayStation will remodel their PlayStation Plus service, to be more in parity and compete with Game Pass. Ooh. They'll utilize the messaging, we heard your feedback, and we want what's best for you, the gamer. And I feel like they
said,
we heard your feedback. And we want what is best for us. Yeah. More money.
We're going to charge you $40 more a year for premium.
Yeah.
I just got my email about that because I was on Extra. And they're like, hey, November 6th, when your thing runs up, you're going to be charged $40 more. And I thought about it. I was like, no, I'm not. So I put on my calendar a reminder for November 3rd to bump it down to like the basic one or whatever.
Look at you. Smart. Doing God's work out there. Voting with your wallet. I appreciate it. So then for the rest of 2023, of course, it is September 7th as we record it, in case on September 8th in the very morning this post, they announce a showcase or some shit. What do we want to predict? I feel like Spider-Man Metacritic is an easy one that we need to figure out where we're going to end up with this one. Where would you go with that one? A blessing Eddie Oya Jr. is. I bet you're going to Metacritic right now.
I'm trying to see what Spider-Man 1 was.
2018 is 87 on Metacritic and Miles Morales was 85.
I'm going to go 88.
Okay.
I'm going to go 88. I think Spider-Man 2 will be pretty iterative. I think it'll be neat. I think they're going to do some neat things with it.
I guess just 86, so at least it's different. I think it will be received like more warmly than, like, I think it'll feel like a step above, I think, the previous two games, but I just think the reality is a lot of times when you look at the landscape of how Metacritic shake out, it's really hard to hit above
what's come before you
high, just because I think there's like more people in the space, like maybe just like, you can argue it's for many reasons, but that just tends to typically be the trend. And also Blessing already took 88, so I feel like, why say, oh, mm-hmm. also 88, let me just put 86 in there then.
Okay, so Janet says 86, Blessing says 88, 87 in 2018, Morales in 85.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 89. I'm going up.
89.
I'm going to go up.
Wow.
I believe.
What do you think gets it that extra too?
Oh, I mean, clearly the 19 inches of Venom. Whoa. You know what I mean? Come on now.
Yeah.
Did you see my fucking Craven tweet yesterday?
No.
So, everybody I know, or I shouldn't say I know. I know not everybody is on Twitter, period, let alone all the time. Over the weekend, PlayStation UK tweeted the Spider-Man Special Edition and was like, get yourself 19 inches of Venom. And everybody fucking had a field day making fun of it and going crazy about it. Yesterday, they released, they've been releasing the like key art, I guess, with like Spider-Man and Miles and Venom and Kraven. They put out Kraven yesterday. And Shinobi, of course, prolific tweeter, tweeted the Spider-Man 2 Kraven art and said, Kraven looking formidable. I can't wait for hashtag Spider-Man 2. To which I quote tweeted and said, I won't believe it until they tell me how many inches of Kraven I get on launch day. 2.5 million impressions.
Oh my God.
31.9 thousand hearts.
Jesus.
Over 1600. Of course I am. Over 1600 retweets. Oh, that'll get me a cool $10. I'm sure. But like, I looked at it. I was like, what the fuck? 2.5 million views on this stupid ass thing.
The algorithm's hitting different nowadays.
It is insane.
Yeah, I gotta tweet more. I've been tweeting less ever since like the whole revamp of Twitter and all that shit. I've been missing out on the dollars.
Are you monetized? Are you all set?
I'm almost monetized.
You're all built up there?
Yeah. I've hidden the blue check because I'm ashamed.
Sure, understandable.
But listen, I'm trying to make money, all right? I'm sorry.
All right, so there you have it. Janet, 86. Blessing, 88. Greg, 89. We will see next month in October what it nets out to be. And then the other one I had for a prediction here, what do you think the reception to PlayStation Portal is going to be?
I think it's going to be positive, but I think there will be the caveat of, like, there are other solutions to this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like what your take, you know, with you talking to Tim, like, a few episodes ago about it, where you're like, for me, it's great. And like, I'm having fun. It's cool. But yeah, you know, there's lots of ways to do that kind of thing.
Rhino says dead on arrival.
I mean, yeah, I think it's going to get the obvious things for the things that
Bluetooth.
No Bluetooth. I think that's going to come up a lot. And like,
outrageous.
In reviews, right? Like, I think the reviews are going to be very straightforward of like, yeah, like if you have this use case, then yeah, it works, right? But like, it's a weird product. Like it's a very specific thing. And I think in terms of wider reception from the audience, I don't think the audience is going to like, I don't think people are going to care that much. I think the people that are going to get it are going to get it.
I think some people might care. I'm getting some, it's interesting because I've kind of like been talking to my community about it. And there are some people that are like, yeah, I'm absolutely going to get this. And then other people that are like, I can do this with my Steam Deck. So it, I don't know.
I think that's going to be
what your background was.
If I was in terms of the reception, I think it's going to be, overall, it's either going to be positive, I really dig this device and I have a great time with it, or I have no interest in it. I think that's the thing. I don't think you're going to get a lot of reception of, I played with it and I hate it. Oh my God, no. It's this, it's that, it's one.
But I mean, I would think in like tech reviews though.
Oh, sure.
There's like, I think there's so
battery much. Battery life's going to be a problem. The Bluetooth's going to be a ding. Yeah. Like there's all that stuff. But it's like, I think in general, in terms of, like, that's why this is a weird one of like, because I didn't put Metacritic on it, right? Like, whatever. Yeah. I think in general, the reception is going to be overall positive, but it'll only be the people who care about it that are positive about it. If that makes sense, which is a weird one. And I think everybody else will be like, that's a dumb device. I don't understand why anybody would want it. And meanwhile, I'm like, I can't fucking wait to Platinum Dead Island 2 on it.
Oh, God.
That's one thing we'll end up seeing within the industry, because I've already kind of had that temptation of seeing people like you, Greg, talk about it and enjoy it. And then other people in the industry will be like, maybe I also want that. So again, is that enough to like fucking move a ridiculous needle for PlayStation? I mean, I don't know what they're hoping to achieve in terms of sales with the device, so I don't really have a big prediction on that regard. But kind of like you said, like, yeah, it has its problems with like the Bluetooth, the battery, whatever, but I think the people that like it will fuck with it. And then some other people might be like, that person seems like they're enjoying it, maybe I should end up getting, you know, like maybe there is something here for it, kind of thing.
Any other predictions you want to have here in our final
four months? Does Helldivers 2 come out?
Don't know. This year?
Yeah, but like, is that a prediction?
The rumor was October or something. Oh, you want to? Okay. Oh, I see. Any other predictions? When is Helldivers? I'm trying to answer the question. Great question. Great one. Great, great, great. All right. So when does Helldivers come out? I'm going to say October. And now, granted, again, that's been the rumor before. But I also feel like that'd be good. And I'd say it's going to be well-ish before Spider-Man. So I'll say, I don't think it's a great one, but I'm going to say the 10th, October 10th, Tuesday the 10th.
I'm going to go November.
When's Spider-Man again?
October 20th.
I don't think you released two PlayStation for first party games in the same month. In November, I think
Helldivers, the one that like launches alongside the Portal, and they're like, there you go, this is what you could be doing.
Honestly, that would be kind of neat to do. I think that makes sense.
Put me down for that. No, that's based on the calendar.
Oh, you can't give your answers. I'm in the middle of giving my answer because that's what I was gonna say.
Oh, okay, fine. No, take it. Go ahead.
Wait, when does the PlayStation Portal?
November 15th. The 15th.
Let me open up the calendar. What day is that?
November 15th.
Is that a Friday?
Is a Wednesday.
I'm going to say the Friday before. So
okay. So you're looking at the 10th.
The 10th, yeah.
November 10th, okay. Janet, what do you say?
Is there like I forget. I should know this because I've been existing here for a long time. Is there like a cadence for when games come out for PlayStation, like in terms of Friday or like whatever?
I mean, usually, you know, games come out on Tuesdays and then the PlayStation will do the big Friday releases here and there, but I don't think, I mean,
major games usually are Fridays.
Let's do I feel like Helldivers 2 is like,
yeah, Helldivers, I don't think is a major game.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the year isn't like the best year since 2018. Let's go November 17th.
November 17th.
I'm going to say January.
Wow. Okay.
I like it. What's the Metacritic on Helldivers 2?
76.
But what's the original Helldivers?
81. PS4.
81?
Well, 81 for the PS4, right?
2015? Yeah, PS4, yeah.
81 is what it is.
I'm going to say Helldivers 2. It's an 86.
Okay, Blessing says 86. Yeah,
I think we were pleasantly surprised by it.
I mean, obviously you think that because you have it in your fucking fantasy critic, so you must.
Yeah, exactly. I think Helldivers 2 ends up being the Risk of Rain 2 of Helldivers.
Wow. Janet, what do you say?
Only a small number of people can understand the sentence that Blessing
said. I know. Emma Watkins Jr. is like, I get it. I understand what he means.
I'm going to go 76. I don't think this is going to hit that hard.
And I'm going to say 77.
Wow. No,
I want it to be amazing. I love Helldivers 1, but I do think that they risk a brain. They risk.
Oh, man.
Look at us, Janet. You know what I mean?
I know, man. From Goodbye, Volcano High, motherfuckers.
We're going to talk about that in a second. I do think they risk flying too close to the sun and being, I think in 2023, are people going to want to get crushed by the things they're dropping? And is it going to be funny or is it going to be annoying? Is it going to be punishing hard? So people are like, I don't even want to do this and yada, yada, yada. And like, is it just Helldivers 1 with another like look to it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I hope I'm wrong.
I guess one more prediction we could make is, does Stellar Blade come out this year?
I don't even know, man.
No.
I would say no, yeah, right? What's the last thing we had on that one?
I mean, they said it's coming out this year is the last thing we had.
Okay.
But
what do you say?
I'm also going
to
say
yes
no.
Or no. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say
everyone
no.
Everyone just says no.
Yeah, no. No across the board.
No.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what's not a no. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you could be watching the show live just like Nina is, Joey is, and Ryan are. Of course, if you're watching live, you can comment and be brought into the show like we did earlier with Piano Fish Tank. But more importantly, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you get every episode of PS I Love You XOXO ad-free and on demand or live as you watch it. But since you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny, here's a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. If you don't love your Shady Rays, exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDOFUNNY for 50% off two pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shade that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com/kindoffunny. This episode is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. We've had 7 months without an NFL game, but for all of you football fans out there, good thing that's over. NFL is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer for week one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. DraftKings is hooking everyone up with game day greatness. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day this September. You can check out the app to see what you get. You can download now and use code Kinda Funny to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That is code Kinda Funny only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, you can call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call telephone number 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpd.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after insurance, eligibility, and deposit restrictions. Apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Blessing.
Greg.
Tell me about this week in PlayStation.
Yeah, I think the one thing to talk about this week would be Baldur's Gate 3 having a great start. Ooh. On PS5. Right now on Metacritic, it is sitting at a 97.
God damn.
Which is the highest Metacritic for a PS5 game. It's only sitting with 10 reviews so far, right? But like,
sure.
Judging from the PC release, I'm sure it's going to hold in that higher or mid 90s range, and that puts it right above Elden Ring at 96 on Metacritic, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition, which is at 94, God of War Ragnarok, which is at 94, and Hades, which is at 93, puts it right above all those, which is pretty incredible. What's also incredible is that the game is running super well. I got an article here from Olivier McKenzie at Eurogamer, who says Baldur's Gate 3 on PS5 is effectively the PC version at ultra settings. From a visual perspective, the PS5 version mostly acquits itself quite well in terms of basic graphical features. It doesn't seem to be really lacking anything at first glance, and that's for a good reason. It actually appears to be running the PC's ultra settings preset, which is the highest set of options possible. This isn't typical of most console games, but the performance delta on PC between the various settings options is minimal, so the high visual target does make some sense here. Baldur's Gate 3 works on PS5. As long as you can get over any controller hangups, the game performs reasonably well on Sony's current-gen console, at least relative to what we see from mid-range PCs. However, while you'll be spending hours in this game with no performance problems whatsoever, the underlying issues found later in the game are still present on PS5. Thankfully, that isn't the case for the majority of the experience. As far as I can tell, and in more sedate areas of the game runs with a reasonably consistent 60 FPS or a rock-solid 30 FPS, depending on the visual mode you select. Split screen also arrives without substantial compromise, which is a welcome surprise given the issues the developers seem to have had translating a version of that mode to Series S. For gamers without access to a high-end PC, the PS5 version of Baldur's Gate 3 delivers exactly what we expected from it, but we'd hope to see further optimizations for all platforms when it comes to the most challenging in-game content. And again, that's Eurogamer. I also got a friend, Sarah, who started playing Baldur's Gate 3 on PS5, and she seems to enjoy it. And so there's my anecdote.
Wow, Sarah knows. Yeah.
I've also been playing it as well, because like I said, I think I had started it on PC, but then wanted to move it over to the PlayStation 5 to like give that to Alyssa as well, to have her watch along. She wasn't really interested in the night that I played.
Blame.
It was unfortunate. Whack. But I played a lot of Baldur's Gate 3 on the PS5 over the weekend. And yeah, I can echo. Granted, again, I'm only in Act 1, so not like late game stuff. But yeah, it runs really well. The controls are still very weird. I got like a taste of that when I played a little bit on Steam Deck. But it's like, I'm trading that for just being lazy, being able to lay in bed and have it on my big screen. And yeah, it's really impressive. And it's still a really good game.
You going to check it out, Greg?
I am. Yeah. You know, it was one of those one where we were finishing the Starfield review, got the code for this. So I was like, I'll move on to it when it's done. Ended up playing more Starfield because I'm obsessed. And then it was like, well, I'm going away to Canada next week for a quick vacation or whatever to see Jen's family. And it was that thing where I'm not bringing the gigantic PlayStation 5. So it was like, I want to start it to talk about it, but I also don't want to start it and do the same thing I do with Steam Deck, where I play 5 hours and then I'll wait, come back, not know anything. So I'm holding off until I'm back from the trip or whatever.
Jenny, where are you at with it?
I haven't started it yet, but same deal. I'm going to start it up on PS5 and we'll see how it goes. I mean, everyone has, you know, you included, has mentioned like the pros of being on PC, and I have that option very easily because Isaiah bought the game on PC already, and so I can just play his copy through our shared library. But I'm gonna hopefully just tough it out on PS5, and I'm very excited to play this game, but I've been telling everyone that like I feel like there's a good chance that I'm really gonna love it, and I'm afraid that if that's not true, it's like I like you living in my mind as like a game I really love.
I will say, Janet, if you want to like trade back and forth, there is cross save if you like connect it to
your Larian account. Yeah.
So
okay, some options. So I'll at least check it out. I think just for the kind of like Greg, like the conversation of talking about it on here in the context.
Beyond conversation. Yeah. Like I really loved
so much
of the decisions and stories and stuff like that. My hope is that playing on PlayStation, having the big screen, I will get acclimated to controlling it. Like it's just, I did not like how it controlled. I did not like combat. But again, it's just about wrapping my head around it. But then again, it's like, I'm having such a good time with Starfield and how that controls. It's going to be a constant push and pull of like, well, the storytelling's better here and the dice rolls are cool, but I'd rather play this one.
Yeah. The one thing I will say with controller that I've noticed way more on PS5 rather than my limited time with Steam Deck was less of the combat and more of, well, I guess this is in combat, of like telling where people to move. And so, like, when you're like, oh, I want this character to move this way to go towards this enemy, that's the only hang-up that I have. Like, I don't mind the radial kind of wheels to bring up actions and stuff. Like, I think that's, the best solution you can have with a controller for a game like this. But, yeah, like, the pointing and clicking to tell, like, all right, I want Shadowheart to move this way, it can get real, real iffy. But that's really my only complaint with it.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. I saw an interesting conversation going back and forth in chat. Like somebody was asking who owns Larian, right? And like Larian isn't, as far as I know, owned by anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I think it's independently founded.
I think it was
founded.
Schreier, right, who had this tweet, I think, of just like, he's like, the one thing to call out about this is that like, and I'm totally paraphrasing this incorrectly, but like, Larian doesn't have a parent company. Yeah. They don't have somebody to answer to, so they can go make their own crazy game and not have to worry about, is it going to be off-putting? Is it going to do this?
Yeah.
Is it mainstream? Yada, yada. They can just go make their own fucking game.
Like, I think that brings up a conversation of, like, does somebody eventually acquire Larian? But also maybe a conversation of, like, actually don't, because they're doing so good by themselves. Leave them alone.
And
like,
that's the thing, right? For a privately owned studio, you can go and you can commit and, you know, it's what we always talk about, right? Of, like, of course, you have all the pitfalls of it, of having to worry about HR and, you know, staying in the black and yada, yada, yada. But you don't have a board of directors, I actually don't know fucking business that well, but you don't have shareholders, you don't have someone to answer to who's just looking for a fucking profit and a return on things.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Well, now it's time for PlayStation picks. The drop this week looks like this. We got Chance of Sinnar for PS4,
which
I've heard
people really like.
I've heard people talk about it. We have that. There's Baldur's Gate 3 for PS5, King's Bounty 2 for PS5, and then NBA 2K24 coming out September 8th for PS5 and PS4. Greg, Janet, both of you picked Goodbye Volcano High to play.
Goodbye Volcano High. The long gestating Greg and Janet jam of, hey, guess what? Some dinosaurs are in high school and let's have a visual novel narrative adventure about them to go through. I had this one. We said a Shadow Drop, which isn't exactly correct. We knew when it was coming, but like radio silence on it when it was just out, right? I think I talked about in the show that I could not get PR to respond. I finally did. I got a code. I jumped in. I started yesterday. And again, how long to beat says about 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, cool. Ooh. I'll do 2 hours or whatever it is at work. And then tonight do it. And I did it must've been like an hour, maybe an hour and a half at work or whatever. And I was just like, ah, no, I'm not going to play this at home. And what I think is important to put out from my perspective is it's not the game's fault. Like, you know what I mean? Like when we talked about OFK a lot on the show, me and Janet, and lament it, right? For me, OFK was like, well, why am I even, there's nothing, my choices aren't changing anything. This is just, there's no real gameplay. Like there's gameplay here in terms of like, you know, playing your guitar. So it's kind of like Guitar Hero. You have some stuff coming and you have to like, you know, strum and do your thing, blah, blah. I think the song slap. I listened to the soundtrack on the way to work today. I really like the songs. It's just the fact that I think that a lot of video game developers either are in a band or always wanted to be in a band. Mm. And that's never been Greg Miller's dream.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, OFK, I was like, well, just get to fucking be in rock stars. Why am I doing this? This one is, you know, you are a dinosaur and you are struggling with self-doubt and coming off of summer vacation. And then of course there's also an asteroid coming that may or may not destroy the world. It will, but they don't know. They're still figuring out where I am in the game. But also it's just like, you're trying to do battle of the bands and all this stuff. And I'm just like, this isn't my dream. So I'm really not connecting to the story. I did they have it broken up by episodes. And what did I say, Janet? There's trophies for 8, I think, right?
Yeah. There's 8 episodes.
And so I did like 1.5. And at the end of 1, they introduced hey, there's an asteroid coming. But they're like, still like, it has a less than, no, there's a less than zero, or there's a more than zero chance it might hit us, but we don't know kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, and so I was like, I was playing, getting there, hoping that would then become the thing. But since it's not like an imminent threat, they're still like kind of putting it off. And so it's still more about just this. And I'm just like, I don't need this high school drama. I don't really like this thing. I don't really like that they're dinosaurs. I know that's it's just like, this is not a story I want to be in. And they're also all the fucking hippest, coolest nerds of all time. So it's just like, everyone's dressed like really great. And like, I'm just like, this is, I don't want to do any of this. Yeah. This just isn't my world. Janet, did this work for you so far?
No, it didn't. Like, okay, so here's the thing. And I'm not laughing like at the game. I'm just laughing at like, I relate to a lot of what you said. Neans in the chat, really, you know, one of my moderators and friends, a friend of mine, says, I love that they were dinosaurs. Yeah. Neans, when you were like, I have your stream muted, but I love this game. Can't wait to hear what you think. And I was like, ha, oh, the game? Like, not so much. And again, I don't know where it sits for me versus We Are OFK, because I beat We Are OFK, and I don't think I'll beat Goodbye Volcano High. Like, it's one of those things where like I could just to see it through, but like maybe I'll just leave it kind of thing. But I'm intrigued by the asteroid component, even though it's like, we know the asteroid hits Earth and that's why the dinosaurs are, you know. But so that part is kind of compelling, I'm not gonna lie. So I'll start with kind of the goods and move on to like my issues with it. Just like you, I love the music. I think the music's great. I didn't like a lot of the music on We Are OFK.
Yeah.
Frankly, like some of the tracks really hit, but then others were like very just dramatic. And then the visuals were dramatic and it's like, gameplay wise, it has more, you know, mini games and stuff going on, but I don't find, I did the first 2 episodes like you. Also, I'll be talking, so the main character's name is Fang. I'll be talking mash about Fang, too. I'm like, Fang out here blue in the nicest house I've ever seen in my life. But anyway, I guess rich people can have problems, too, I suppose. But I was like, Fang, like, yo, this place is nice. You play as the main character, Fang. They're in the band with some of their friends. And there's a couple of cool spots of mechanics. Like, in the footage that's showing right now, if you're watching the video version, they show, like, selecting the things for, like, the doodle. They show panning over a crowd and getting to, like, click and see their social media posts. Like, there are some cool pockets of mechanical integration that helps enhance the story. And that's the thing that I, you know, always say time and time again. Narrative game haters or dismissers will talk about how it doesn't have gameplay. But, like, the gameplay is more minimized, but it does, when it's good, it is in service of enhancing the narrative, connecting you to the world. And I think there are pockets where Goodbye Volcano High definitely does that. My number one issue with it is just that the drama isn't juicy enough. The decisions aren't intriguing enough. Like, again, there are some pockets of intrigue there. Like, for example, with like the asteroid coming in. Again, this is like episode one-ish two stuff. Sure. There's like this funky interference with like the cell towers. And you see that interference appear in the dialogue boxes. Like sometimes they'll get like shuffled or scattered. And I think pockets of that are very like funky and almost Oxenfree-esque and kind of playing with like keeping you on your toes and making you wonder, like, is this because of my character's internal feelings? Is it the world? Is this, you know, whatever, right? But ultimately, I'm like, I just don't really care about what's going on. Like, it's not even necessarily the band aspect of it or the high school aspect of it. It's just that it feels a little bit dull to me. And I think the conflict is so, like, somewhat black and white, because the conflict that kind of gets introduced outside of, like, oh, the world might end is it's very clear that, like, Fang's really, like, all in on this band. And Fang's bandmates are like, this is something we like to do, but like, I got other stuff going on, you know? And like, Fang's just like, and I'm like shouting from like playing it, like, hello, no one else cares. And there's ways for that to happen where it's still interesting, but I don't think they accomplish that in Goodbye Volcano High. Like, there's nothing for me to really latch onto. And also, I think pockets of the writing are a little bit cheesy to me. Like, there's a scene where one character is like, oh, like, I'm staying inside to beat the heat, and I'm baking cookies, and they're like, how's baking cookies going to beat the heat? And
dude, say, that entire conversation, I was just like, I don't, what are we, what?
And then they say, you just lost your cookie privileges, and I'm like, bro, you can't tell me this part's good. Like, and again, we all have different opinions, so if that resonates with you, like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, shit on who you are or your experience baking cookies for friends, but I'm like, what are we doing here, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's so much intriguing drama. Like, high school, I think a lot of times high school gets dismissed as like, well, this is kid shit, you know, like, these are dramas of children, right? But so much crazy shit can happen in high school and does happen in high school. We see this in our real life, we see it in media with, like, you know, things like Life is Strange, right? Like, granted, again, you don't have fantastical powers normally when you're high school, but like, it speaks to stuff that's like real shit, you know? For me, it's like, I don't know what the moody kid didn't want to take his yearbook photo, and like, then he did. It's not giving. I'm like, the world's gonna end, and this is still like incredibly dull to me.
Yeah, and exactly. That was my thing. I was hoping that would be the kick to like, oh, what are we going? And it's like, I'm with you of like, I'm not going to come back to Goodbye Volcano High. I kind of would like to see.
If it was shorter, I would definitely finish.
If I knew that at the end of episode two, it was going to be, no, we are going to die. So now it all goes out the window. And what do we do? But it's like, I'm very much expecting it not to be for more episodes that they find out that. It's like,
yeah.
Sucks.
All right.
You know, we want to like every game we want, you know, but it's just like, I don't want to be in a band. I don't need to do this.
And like, I felt this coming from a mile away too.
I'm having flashbacks to Jet the Far Shore right now.
Jet the Far Shore. Like, that was wild, because like, I went into that, like, just thinking that would be like a good game, and then it wasn't. This is something only me and Greg have really known. Like, the like, you see like this narrative game from like a mile away and you're like, yeah, like, let's like hit it up, and then as it approaches you're like, I'm not feeling so good, you know. And then it comes by and it's like, you know, yeah, like, and again, it has like some good ideas, and a lot of these games do. That's why we like are excited about them, right? Like, if I really thought, like, kind of like the Stray Gods thing, right? Like, where it's like, oh, you're gonna play it, you're interested. I'm like, I'm not interested. I just genuinely wasn't interested. And then I heard it didn't really pan out for a lot of people, and I'm like, cool, I wasn't gonna play it, it didn't look good to me. This did look good's a little strong, but I'm like, I feel like there's potential here.
Like, it looked interesting. Like, I saw the trailer and I also was like, oh yeah, I can check this out. Like, I'm a fan of Life is Strange. This is giving me some of those vibes. But hearing you guys talking about it, and seeing more of the trailers, and then seeing the lack of conversation about it
it's
thing.
It's back again, like, right, to like, you know, picking your shot, picking your spot. Like, it goes both ways in a way of like, all right, so you launch this game, you don't give out review codes ahead of time, and you launch it like right on the precipice of Starfield, and it's like, it's a bummer, because my whole thing in Baldur's Gate and everything, it's like, it's such a time for games right now that, like, last night when I was playing it here at work and I was like, oh, I'm not vibing with it for X, Y, and Z, I don't feel like going home and powering through it because there's other things I could play to enjoy. And you know, there's so much to play.
There's
Sea
of Stars out there. There's Bomb Rush out there. There's like so many games. There's games that I really want to play that I am missing currently that I can't make time to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Really quick too, the last thing I want to shout out about it, because it is a narrative rhythm game at its core. The rhythm stuff. And I'm not good at rhythm games. Like, I ain't got no rhythm. Like, I play piano, but like I'd be struggling, you know, like keeping the cats. Like, come on, get, you know, so I will throw that out there that I'm not like really that good at rhythm games. However, this one felt especially kind of grating to me and odd. The number one thing that I thought was weird, and like Greg, I'd love to hear your opinion on the rhythm aspect, is normally when you have a rhythm game, especially one that's fairly stripped down, like, you know, it's like up, down, like hit square, hit X, like kind of things popping left and right. It's the emphasis of when you're hitting the notes is on like the musicality of what you're hitting. So if it's like, you know, a couple beats, it's like when you hit it, it's like it's like enhancing that beat. For this, like the sound, like it'd be like a slow acoustic ballad, and then the sound would be like, what is it called in a drum set? Is it a cymbal? Like the little, like, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah,
the hi-hat.
It would be like a it'd be like a hi-hat sound. And I'm like, why are you throwing in a hi-hat sound when we're in an acoustic? So then it would throw me off, and like the timing felt funky. And then sometimes there was too many things on screen for it to be chill. And then I think it says that you're supposed to get like a percentage at the end. I never really saw, there's like a couple little UI things that I think are a little too, they're so woven in with the world that I like don't see them. So anyway, kind of a nitpick for a game that I'm not coming back to anyway, but it is a rhythm game. So I did want to at least address like the rhythm aspect. Greg, really quick, like rhythm wise, like, was it a fun experience playing through it? Did you like
fun experience, you know? Isn't right. Like I didn't hate it. You know, I struggled to know exactly what they wanted in some instances. Like when, and so I went into accessibility and they had like, do you want generous windows? And I was like, yes, I do. Like I'm fucking playing this dinosaur high school game. I'm not trying to like, you know, nail this whole thing or whatever. So yeah, I was like, whatever. It was fine. I was glad there was something to do, unlike OFK, right? Where it was just watching for the most part.
Yeah. But anyway, that was Goodbye Volcano High.
Plus, what have you been playing?
Redacted. That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of PS I Love You XOXO, your PlayStation podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Remember, of course, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Get a brand new episode of PS I Love You XOXO each and every week, ad-free, on demand. You could watch us live as we record it. You could watch all the other podcasts live as we record them. You could go to the Epic Game Store and you could use the creator code kindoffunny to cost yourself nothing but get us a few extra bucks, which is nice. Of course, if you have no bucks toss our way, no big deal. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe each and every week for a brand spanking new episode. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.